Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad with tonight's session from Religion Means Alive. And the topic for tonight is...
Let's stay on because Stephen, she's going to have some other guests with her. Yeah. Wow.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad, and tonight's topic on Religion Means Alive is polygyny. Is it for me? What is it? How does it work? Okay, so tonight, I know this is like a hot topic, and I always see this topic discussed on my timeline. You know, you get inboxes from like new shahadas who aren't really familiar with how, you know, everything works, and what's the process, and, you know, what's the rules and the regulations around it and everything like that. So I just want to let everybody know that if you have questions, you can feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and we'll put you through to ask me any questions for tonight, particularly speak. So, inshallah, I pray that somebody calls in and asks questions, because we want to not just hear my opinion on it and how I feel about it and different things of that nature. I want to be able to hear from the audience, like, what's your thoughts, what's your take on the whole subject, since, you know, this is something that, you know, I was bombarded with, like, Qadira, can you please do a topic on polygyny and, you know, explain, you know, what the rules are and how it works and so forth. So I said, you know, inshallah, I'll take the time out to explain what that is. Now, polygyny is different from polygamy, and I know people confuse the two, but in Islam, we need to make sure we state everything that's clear and concise and understandable. So polygamy means that you have more than one spouse. Now, we know in Islam, that's not permitted. A man can have up to four wives if he's able to take care of them. A woman can only have one husband. So that's where polygyny comes in. Polygyny means that a man can have four wives, but the woman only has one husband. So, you know, we needed to make that clear from the beginning. And also, something else that, you know, I researched up on, trying to figure out everything about polygyny and how it works and things of that nature. And this is something that's not new to Islam. It didn't start with Islam. Islam did not create polygyny. This was a practice that was going on way before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the prophet. This was something that dates back to the Bible, even as far back as Adam's grandson. And I found that out, like, you know, in research and everything like that. This was a practice that was well known and done because of the certain situations that were occurring during those times. You had a lot of different plagues, you had a lot of different sicknesses and things of that nature. You had wars, you had people conquering various towns and things like that. So all those things came into play of why, you know, people allowed polygyny to go on. And again, this wasn't something that was just done in Islam. This was something that was done in the Bible. The Bible speaks about it numerous times about various prophets that had more than one wife. So, I mean, you know, it's not just conducive to Islam. You know, it's you know, always happened. So just to give you a breakdown on it, Lamech was the grandson of Adam. He had two wives. Abraham, alayhi salam, had two wives, Sarah and Hagar. Jacob had two wives and two concubines. The 12 tribes of Israel are from these four ladies, from his two wives and his two concubines. And David, alayhi salam, had many wives. So, you know, it goes on and on and on about, you know, that it was something that was acceptable. It was something that was done. I know everybody wants me to get, like, deeper into it and dig into it, but I just wanted to give you a brief understanding of what polygyny is and, you know, how it works. So, what I'm going to do is, I'll give you the breakdown of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he did his marriage and his various marriages. From birth to the age of 25, he was single. He didn't marry anybody. He was single. From the age of 25 to 50, he married one wife, Khadija, radiallahu anhu, and from the age of 50 to 63, he had 10 wives at that time. Now, I just want to make it clear to anyone and everyone that's listening, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not marry his additional 10 wives after the death of Khadija, radiallahu anhu, for personal gain. He did it because there was a need to do it. As far as these women were either elderly, widowed, and, you know, he didn't want them to be taken advantage of. There was various conquests and things of that nature to strengthen the fabric of Islam since it was starting out. It was to strengthen Islam. It was to keep them safe. And it was, you know, these women lost their husbands in war. So it was to force the ties and to give these women security. And I just wanted to put that out there so that, you know, you understand the basis of what polygyny is and how it works. I understand that we have a caller on the line from area code 513. Is that Celine?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I was expecting to be put through. I was listening in, so alhamdulillah.
Okay.
I will wait till you get done with your informative part to kind of chime in and get my two cents. But yeah, I'll wait.
Okay. All right. Just to let you know, we recognize you, inshallah.
Oh yeah, I was like, I'm for you. I was just but alhamdulillah, that's good. I'll chime in on my two cents once I get the full breakdown of everything, and inshallah, I definitely want to chime in on that.
Okay.
All right.
Now, okay, cool, thanks. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start to give you some insight into how polygyny works. Now, we want to start off by understanding that this is something that is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can't argue with it. We don't do that in this land. If it's in Quran, if it's in authenticated hadith, we don't question it. It is what it is, and it states what it states. And do we have to like it? No. But can we disagree with it? No, we cannot. So, you know, just to let you know about that part, I just wanted to make that clear to everyone that it's not something that, you know, we can say, oh, I'm not doing that, and I don't have no part to that, and oh, no, that's not going down on my watch. Like, oh, I don't know who he think he is, and this ain't going on. No, sorry to tell you, you can't do that. But I will tell you this. Up until the point that you're married, before you're married, if you stipulate in your contract that you do not wish that your husband takes on a second, third, or fourth right, you can put that in your contract. Now, I have read where that's debatable because it says that this is something that Allah has ordained, and there's various fatwas on it saying that you can't put that in there. But I've also read that you can. So, you know, Allahu alam, Allah knows best. That and the reason why I'm breaking it down like this is so you understand what I'm saying. Up until the point that you're married and your contract is signed, even on the day of your marriage, you could put that in your contract that if your husband takes on another wife, that you want a divorce. You can do that. Now, if you did not state that in your contract and you guys are already married and he decides to take on another wife, that is not a valid reason for divorce. It should have been stipulated in your contract. Now, let's get back to that. It does not necessarily mean that if you go to the masjid and you state your claim like, oh, okay, you know, I told him I didn't want, you know, him taking on another wife, and I put that in my contract. Allah has ways of softening our hearts and so forth. And if the brother is fulfilling all his obligations and he's paying you attention, I'm going to tell you now, no imam is going to grant you a divorce. He's not. Because it's out of pure feelings that you're doing this. It's not no valid reasons. If he's paying your bills, taking care of you, so forth, and doing everything that he's supposed to do, that's not a valid reason for you to obtain a divorce. Now, there's two different kinds of divorce, and I may, inshallah, in the future, do a call on the divorce process and various ways of divorce, but I'll just give you a quick, you know, review of the various kinds of divorce. There's two kinds of divorce. There's a kula, and then there's talaq. A kula is what the woman requests of a husband. And if he fulfills that request, she's in a state of iddah for 30 days. After the 30 days, then she is no longer married and she is divorced. If he does not take her back in that time, or if they don't reconcile within that time, then her divorce is granted. In the case of a talaq, which is where the husband pronounces divorce on the sister, her time in iddah will be 3 months. Or 90 days. Within that time, they can reconcile and, you know, then, you know, continue to be married. But if he pronounces talaq 3 times in concession, then their divorce is final and she cannot remarry him until she has remarried someone else. So I'm not going to elaborate on that too much. You know, I just wanted to give you the preview of, you know, how the marriage and divorce works and so forth. Okay, now we're going to start digging into polygyny. And once you understand it, and once you get knowledge of how it works, yeah, you'll still be a little on shaky ground saying, I don't want to do it, and, you know, it's not right, and this and that, and this and that. Everybody gets in their feelings about different things. Okay, so, you know, in my readings, people say, oh, well, if the man can have 4 wives, why can't the woman have more than one husband? Well, we all know about, well, you know, in today's time, we have DNA tests and things of that nature. But back in the Prophet's time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah knows best, Allahu a'lam, they did not have these things. So it would have been a very hard way to determine who the child belonged to. And I also read, which clearly made sense, if it keeps it even. So if a man is able to have four wives, he knows where his children come from. They're his children. If a woman was able to have four wives, do you know how chaotic the marriage process would be? Okay, her husband, one of her husband got four wives, and she got four husbands, and he got four wives. It would be so chaotic, and it would cause so much disarray in the community, because you wouldn't know if you're sleeping with your half-brother, half-sister. You wouldn't know. So Allah, in all his infinite wisdom, knew that this would be the process. And also, we all know how men get in their feelings and stuff like that. So, yeah, it would have been some problems. You know, it would have been some problems. We are softer in nature. Women are softer in nature and more humbler. And we can take on those things. Allah made us in a specific way, and he made men in a specific way. And the men have a degree over the women. We know this from Quran. So, with that being said, there is one husband for a woman, and a husband or a man can have four wives. Now, I want you guys to listen to this, and I want the next piece that I start to go into and break apart and dive into, I want everybody to listen to this piece, because this is extremely important. And some may disagree with me, and some may agree with me. But again, I'm the host of the show, and I can say it. But I also have Quran and Hadith to back up my statement about what I'm about to say. When man was created, Allah created him with a sexual desire that is stronger than a woman's. Is this something men do? So Allah, in his infinite wisdom, knew that some men would not be able to become satisfied with just one woman. Now, polygyny in certain Islamic countries, and where I'm referring to Islamic countries that are under Sharia law, and, you know, like Egypt, certain parts of Egypt and so forth, and I also read that Iran and Egypt, you know, some people will debate about Iran, but I'm just giving you what I read. I'm not stating I agree with what their practices are or so forth and so on. But I read that Egypt and Iran, in order for you to take on a second wife, you have to go through the courts. Like, it's a whole process that you have to go through. You have to show that you're able to take care of them, that, you know, you're supporting your wife and her kids and her family, and you're doing all that. Like, it's not an easy process. You just don't say, okay, I'm going to the masjid, I talk to the sister Wakil, Wali, and, you know, everything is a go, and I'm going to go marry him. That's not how it works in some Islamic countries. Like, you have to go through a whole process. Now, what I'm about to get into, some people, again, may not like it, but I'm going to say it, and it needs to be said, because the community and how things are going on, and with my previous shows about, you know, STDs and things of that nature, stuff just isn't being handled appropriately. In order for a man to even consider, well, before I even get into that, we all know in Hadith that if you cannot afford a wife, you are to fast. That's something that's clear. It's not something that's not unknown. You're told to fast until you can afford a wife and take care of her appropriate. So it says in Quran, it says in Hadith, that, yes, you can get married. Getting married is half your deen. But it doesn't say that you must take on a second, third, or fourth wife. It said you can. If you are able to treat them fairly and you are able to care for them equally. Listen to what I said. Take care of them equally and treat them both fairly. If you can't treat them both, then stick to the one that you have. No matter what your nafs may be telling you you need to do or how you need to do it, if you can't take care of a second wife, you're struggling now, like you got three kids by her, you're struggling, you know, she might have to go out there and work, she's out there, you know, doing her little halal hustle, whatever have you, and you talking about you want to take on another wife?
Brother, Kadir, you can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
And that kind of segue into my point, and I think this is kind of what has left a bad taste in about polygyny in a lot of the sisters' mouth or the perception of it, because you got too many what I call dusty broke brothers always screaming and hollering about polygyny, and
right,
they haven't
right.
built anything to sustain them being in a polygynous sister, a situation, but yet they still kind of pursue that. And it's leaving a very,
right.
very foul taste in not only
right.
the sisters now, but some of the brothers who may be of means to be able to provide for more than one wife. It's also hurting
right.
the situation for them as well. So, and that's
right.
my point, is that we have too many brothers who are not qualified and are unwilling to get qualified. That's the key. It's one thing not to be qualified, but it's another thing to say, you know what, I'm not going to get qualified to be able to take on that position to marry or have multiple wives. So that's my thing, and I think that's what's happening now. That's why some of these sisters are anti-polygyny, because some of these brothers have pounded it in the heads and ingrained it in a real dusty way. But not only have they done that, but they've used it in a manner to polygyny, in a manner to also threaten women as well. They
right.
use it
I'm definitely going
to
speak on that. I'm gonna definitely speak on all that. I'm gonna definitely speak on all that, because
okay,
you know.
Yeah, and
the community needs to know, and, you know, I'm basically doing this call for the new Shahadas, because I know that, you know, these brothers are telling the non-believers, hey, we gonna get married, this and that, and then put you in a state of polygyny, and you like, what the heck just happened? I don't know, like, how did this happen? It's because you don't know and you don't understand. So, you know, when I do these calls, I'm here to educate the people, the masses.
Yeah.
Even brothers may not know what the true process is, but, you know,
right.
I'm going to break it down for them. I'm definitely going to break it down for them.
And that's key, but it's also, I think it comes on the Muslim brothers who've been in Islam for a while and understand and know the knowledge and to be able to explain this, and also call brothers out who might be in the community doing the dusty stuff as far as what I call it, a nigga stuff in Islam. Or dirty macking in Islam and using Islam to justify these behaviors that you've already kind of had before you was a Muslim, and now you're bringing them into Islam. And so we have to be very, very careful about this, because I think it's really giving, in particular, the African-American or the Black Muslim brothers a really bad reputation as being these womanizers and these men who are all about game and no substance. And that's what I'm trying to combat against, because I'm finding out that we're all kind of getting lumped into the same category. And I think that's what's unfair. Because there are some brothers like myself who I consider myself a realist, and I understand my situation and where I need to be at and what I need to do to be able to get to certain levels to be able to be a
right.
person of influence or a Muslim brother of influence. And I respect that role. And so to forfeit that or to come in a way that's unhonorable as a Muslim, that's very important that we always have that in mind. And so we have to, us Muslim brothers, have to check each other. And I think what you see a lot of the times, you have certain people in certain groups who protect each other in their dusty behavior is what I have an issue with. Like, you know, don't use the Quran and Sunnah to justify that position, when you know that this brother cannot afford these wives or these women, and he's pushing them towards welfare and benefits, but he ain't got no means, that he's not working, and he's not doing nothing to provide for this family, or her for that matter, and he's bringing the overall situation down. That's what I have an issue with, and that's what I take issue with a lot, because, like I said, we all getting up into the same category, us as, I believe, African-American Muslim men, or what I call myself is a black Muslim man, and we're all getting lumped into the same category of doing this dustiness, and I don't like it, and I actually speak against that, you know, and so that's all I wanted to kind of add to that, the dialogue was that, so.
Absolutely, and, you know, what I wanted to, you know, dig into the fact of the matter is, you know, when a sister gets married, you are not responsible for the household. Like, I'm letting it be known, like, it's his responsibility. He is responsible to provide every stitch of clothing for you. He is required to provide every morsel of food for you. He is required to provide shelter for you. Your money, if you work, is your money. He cannot take that. He cannot ask you how much you make. He cannot require you to pay bills. Now, if y'all come to some kind of agreement that this is something that you want to do, then so be it. But, sisters, I'm letting you guys know that's not your obligation. That's his. So with that being said, we're going to get into, you know, the whole depending on Uncle Sam for different things. You know, if the sister is on welfare and, brother, you want to marry her, you are to take her out that condition. That is not a situation that's set up for you. Oh, you know, hey, Sister Aisha, she getting Section 8, so, you know, I can take care of her. And, you know, Sister Bashira, you know, she on Section 8, she, you know, she gets subsidized housing, so I can marry her too. Islam is not set up like that. And, you know, this is not a game for y'all to make it easy on y'all. Or, oh, okay, I'm going to get me some halal yams. Because, you know, the situation is set up easy for me. You know, I ain't got to pay for daycare, nothing. My kids go to daycare free or whatever and all this and that. And that's a whole bigger issue, and I'm going to get into that.
Right.
So if the sister is on any kind of subsidy from the government, and I'm going to name them, Section 8, welfare for food stamps, cash assistance, or medical, WIC, if she gets CCIS, which is subsidized daycare, if she lives in PHFA, which is PFA housing, where she's getting the discount on, she's living in basically the projects, and she's getting the subsidy, she don't even have to pay like $150 a month. If you are thinking about marrying that sister, you are to take her out that situation. This is a whole bigger issue with the brothers out there.
Right, right. And you're right about that. So
I just want to finish up this statement real quick, and then
okay,
I'll let
go ahead,
you comment.
Okay.
That's a whole bigger issue where we're giving the non-believers the leeway to look at our sisters like they're fornicators. Because if they go down here to the welfare office, they're not telling these people they're married. They're telling them that they're single so that they can continue to get the benefits and you can continue to be married to poor wives who you don't even take care of. So I'm letting it be known, this is not how Islam works. And it needs to stop. And the game needs to stop being played.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, 1,000%. And that's why I'm so adamant about getting on these dusty brothers who do this dusty behavior. Because us as Muslims, we always claim as Muslims that we're the best of mankind, and we're an example to the non-believers. So how do you look if your significant other is going down there to get benefits? But yet, here it is, you're walking around with some kind of pride or nobility about being a Muslim man who is obligated to provide for his woman. So my thing is, it's just like, I don't understand how some of these brothers can really walk around and with all this pride, and I got so much knowledge, but yet still our women are in a better condition. We don't own anything. We don't control anything. So that's my thing, and you hit it right on the head when you said what you said, because it's really becoming a problem. And even with myself, right. I'm not going to act like, you know, Celine can do a lot better in certain areas when it comes to my income. I'm divorced. My wife has a different household. My kids are in a different state. So sending money and, you know, the child support system, I felt like we didn't have to go that route. But my thing is, I'm not running from the situation. I'm not, you know, okay, what do you need to be supported? What do you need to do this? And, you know, and I send clothes and I send care packages to my children. So my thing is, support of your children, no matter what, is always important. It's always important. And we have to get off of this dusty stuff, I believe. I'm talking about the Muslim brothers.
Right.
Because I like I said with one podcast when I was saying that the respect is gone. I'm starting to see that there are sisters out here who are like just dead tired. They're completely fed up, and they don't want anything to do with African American Muslim men at this point, because I think that we are showing that we are not providers, and we're not getting out here, and we're not building, and that's a problem.
Absolutely, and I'm gonna divert from that, from what I was just talking about, really quick, because I want the callers to know that even Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not against polygyny, but he would not even allow his own daughter to be part of polygyny. And I'm going to read you the hadith, because I know, this sister, she done made this up. No, I'm about to read it to y'all, and I'm gonna give text, because I know this is what we do. We provide text. We don't speak out of content. We got to provide the proof when we say something, or the dalil, as you know, y'all would say, you know, to the statement that I just made. So in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 7, book 62, number 157, narrated al-Miswar bin Makrama. I heard Allah's apostle who was on the pulpit saying, Banu Hislam bin al-Mughari had requested me to allow them to marry their daughter to Ali bin Abu Talib, but I don't give permission and will not give permission unless Ali bin al-Talib divorces my daughter in order to marry their daughter, because Fatima is a part of my body, and I hate what she hates to see, and what hurts her hurts me. So I hope y'all understood that, and I'll get a reference again, because I know probably a lot of people, she's making this up. That is Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 7, book 62, number 157. Even Nabi, sallallahu alayhi salam, he knew polygyny was, you know, he couldn't go against what Allah commanded, said that you could. But he wouldn't even allow his own daughter to get into it. So all this, y'all keep forcing this issue and doing this and doing that. And, you know, I'm going to get back on the topic that if your wife is receiving any of those benefits, you are to take her out of that situation and create a better one for her. It's stupid. You marrying these sisters on welfare and you're not even working. You're not even employed. So you don't really have no rights over her. Like, it's like, you know, everybody has taken this polygyny thing to a whole nother level, and it's a game. Like, it's nothing but you getting halal yams. Basically, that's what it is. And, you know, something else that, you know, I was reading up on in regards to the whole, you know, polygyny thing, and like some of the practices that these sisters are doing. And, you know, I'm going to go to the Salafis, because I'm going to give y'all a quote on, you know, one of y'all sheikhs that y'all follow, and how they're against a certain practice that I see every day, because this is what's going on. The Misar marriage. In the Misar marriage, a union takes place between a man and a woman where some of the responsibilities of both parties are surrendered. A man surrenders his rights for housekeeping duties, the right of equal access to the husband among his other wives, and so forth. The wife surrenders her right to be provided for by her husband financially, to have a house owned by him to live in, and so forth. Michelle is often called the traveler's marriage or vacation marriage, not to get confused with a mutter, which is totally forbidden in Islam, except for the Shia, because the Shia still practice that. But this is totally separate, where you're married, but you're negating some of the responsibilities. Misar is often called the traveler's marriage or the vacation marriage because the man and woman live in separate dwellings, and the man visits his wife from time to time, the period often being specified in the marriage contract. So that's what, and what I see that goes on in the community, half of y'all in that kind of marriage. And I'm going to give you a quote from Sheikh Salih Al-Fazwan, because I know that's what y'all follow. We do not advise with it because it is not in the line with the good interests of an Islamic marriage. Rather, it is merely fulfilling the desires. And he will not have authority over his wife, and she will not live with him in his home. And if they have children, they will be far away from him and from his supervision. Thus, intent behind marriage will not be achieved. Therefore, we do not advise of it. So, Sheikh Al-Fazwan just said, if you are not in a whole marriage, living with her, providing for the children, sustaining the household, if you're not doing that 100%, not this machine stuff, not the mental, whatever else you're doing, then you should not even be looking to take on a second wife. And that was my point of bringing in the Mashiach marriage. You shouldn't even be looking into taking on a second wife. Now, you know, I didn't waste enough time talking about that, and I gave you, you know, what the requirements are to have a second wife and what you should be doing. Now, if you are so fortunate to be able to treat your wives equally, share time with them, be respectable, raise the kids, rear the kids, work, and provide for the whole house, alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to reward you and give you tawfiq over the situation. Alhamdulillah. I'm not going to disagree with it. But there, in my readings, and I just started reading on it like a half a week ago, there's so much stuff out there about it. The wife is going to start to feel some type of way because now she was used to you being there with her 7 days a week. So now you have to break up that time, and before you was even working a lot, so you really wasn't home that time. If you are now going to have to take even further time away from your first wife to be able to spend with your first wife, your second wife, and still do all this overtime, you should stay with one wife. Because you're already not giving her the full attention, and now you're going to take even more of it away. So you should stay with one wife. But again, alhamdulillah, if you're able to be super brother, super aki, and you can work, you can take care of them households, you can fulfill that time with both wives, rear kids, making sure you both households is in order and everything is straight, alhamdulillah. Again, may Allah reward you for your efforts and continue to bless you, and may you provide for your family and everything. No qualms here. I'm not going to hear Quadira say anything about that, alhamdulillah, because I know a couple of people who are in polygyny, and it works. And it works. So this is where I'm going to digress into the sisters. Now, if you're in polygyny and you know, or you're about to become in polygyny, there's a couple of things that you need to know. And some things that I read, you know, made clear sense. It didn't say that you had to be best friends and buddy-buddy with your co-wife. It didn't say that. But you should be cordial to her. It didn't say that y'all got to hang out and do all this and that and whatever have you. No, but you can be cordial to her. And whatever problems that you have with your husband, don't take them to her. You should treat your marriage as if you're in a monogamous one. What goes on in their household is none of your concern, unless it's something that is affecting your household. For instance, if he be like, oh, you know, I ain't got the money for the bills this month because, you know, something happened, and, you know, I got to pay the bills over there. If this is a constant thing, then, yeah, you can have a problem with that because that's not what you signed up for. And that's not your responsibility. Unless you stipulated that you was going to pay some of the bills, which you're advised not to do. See, we want men to be men. We don't want them to continue to be boys. They stepped up and said, hey, we're a man and we're going to get married and we're going to have these two wives. Then let them keep that role. Because that could be a good lesson learned for them. That, you know, I don't wish this on nobody because, you know, divorce is not something that you smile about. But if you do get a divorce and he's able to retain one of those wives, before he go get married again, he'll think twice about it. You know, because these are lessons that need to be learned. And sisters, what goes on in your household, don't gossip with the co-wife about what goes on in her household and your household. And y'all talking about your husband behind his back and all this and that. That's how a lot of divorces happen. Treat your marriage as a monogamous one. Now, we all know that we're going to have jealousy and things like that. But if your husband is paying your bills, he's fulfilling his sexual rights for you, he's paying you attention, he does what he says, when he says he's going to do it and how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. Love for your sister what you love for yourself. The ratio to men to women is always going to be greater. There's always going to be more women than men. And if you ever read up on, like, the end of days, the signs of the end of times and things like that, that number is only going to increase. So, you know, if you know your husband is able, I ain't saying going out there and push him and be like, oh, you need to go get a second wife or third wife. You know, go ahead and do it. No, I'm saying if you know that he's knowledgeable, he's a good brother, he has the financial means, he has the time, he has the energy to be able to do it, then allow him to do it. Because you get reward for that as well. Now I'm going to digress to something else. And this, you know.
Now, well Kadir, I got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe just ask something. Do you feel like, and I know you're going to another area, but do you feel like that social media has allowed a lot of the sisters who may be in situations where the man is providing and doing all he can to get out of pocket? Because I see a lot of sisters, I believe they have really good situations and good brothers out there that really are doing their thing and are putting up a valiant effort to be providers and be Muslim brothers. But I think I see a lot of bashing on social media, a lot of the brothers. Do you think that there's a lot of females or sisters who are out of pocket, in the Ummah in regards to if a brother is handling his business?
What do you mean, like, as far as, like, what? This brother, he works, he takes care of his house,
yeah,
and he does everything, and then, what, one of his wives or somebody else is bashing him?
Yeah, bashing him or just out of pocket or just, you know, just like, yeah, just bashing him, just, you know, I'm feeling like there's so many brothers out here who are able and capable of doing their thing, but I think it just gets overshadowed a lot. Like, it just gets overlooked. Like, there ain't no good brothers out there that's, you know, stepping up, doing their thing, and handling their business, and being productive,
Well, I would say this. I wouldn't advise nobody to find nobody on social media. Like,
well, I know that. I'm just saying.
I mean,
but you see the climate, what's happening with this, all the bashing and all the are real solutions being put forth, and is a dialogue meaningful? Is kind of what I'm asking as well.
Well, I mean, you know, from like things that I hear in the community, you know, like everybody's against, you know, the social media stuff, bashing people, putting up people's business. Everybody's against.
I've seen photos of brothers, mug shots. The sister get mad. She put up a mug shot of the brother, putting all his business out there. He stole my car, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, wow, like, really? Like,
well, see, I'll say this one in. Something that I always live by, and something, you know, like, it's called my humble pie. You only get what you allow. You knew he wasn't nothing when you married them, but you went and married them anyway. So you get exactly what your hand called for. Don't put the brother out there now. Don't put him out there now. He ain't taking care of you. Oh, he got 10 kids, and oh, he went and got another wife, and this and that. Well, you already knew that. You already knew what he was about. He told you when y'all was getting married that y'all was going to be in polygyny. He told you that. So now that he's marrying the sister, now you want to, you know, you want to downgrade the sister. You don't even know nothing about her, but you're causing fitna or whatever like that. I mean, I done seen all that happen. And, you know, the main context of the thing, or the reason behind polygyny, is that you should treat your marriage like a monogamous one. What goes on with them and him and her, if he even come to you and say, well, you know, Khadijah was at, like, I don't want to hear that. That ain't got nothing to do with me. This my night. I don't want to hear about her and her problems. That's your problem. That ain't the other white problem. See, and these sisters feed into it because that's what they into, gossiping. Giba,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Are the other sisters checking each other? Is what I'm also asking too. Are, you know, like me, as far as how I feel about brothers being dusty, are there sisters out here that are checking each other when they do dusty things, or when they're making decisions that are foolish?
Absolutely.
I mean, I see the bad thing going on. Well, the brothers,
no,
I see the bad thing, the brothers going on.
I was on a post on Facebook the other day about polygyny, and I was like, oh, this, I'm glad I'm doing a show on this, because, you know, this is something that needs to be talked about, and it's something that needs to be discussed, because so many people are misinformed about the whole process and how it works and so forth and so on. You know, like, if you put in your contract that, you know, you didn't want him to take on a second wife or a third or fourth, and he does that, you have the means to ask for a divorce. Now, if the brother is handling all his business the way he's supposed to be, 9 times out of 10, you know, the EMM ain't going to grant it unless you state that you feel like you ain't going to be able to obey him. You're not going to be able to, you know, do what he says and things like that. Like, you're just totally done with him. Then you may be granted a divorce or whatever. But if you knew that, and you didn't put in your contract that you wanted, you didn't want no parts of polygyny, then you got everything you signed up for. Like, this is something that you should discuss. This is something with these backdoor marriages, you getting his friend to be your wife, kill, and marry you, and you don't know nothing about him. So you get everything your hand called for because you just want to marry him. And this is why Allah, depending on what the Allah has stated, that we have to have a wakil or a wali, and that it is someone in our family or someone who is known within the community. There's reasoning behind that. There's reasoning behind that. It's hikmah behind that. You know what I mean? Because someone in your family, especially men, because, see, women love what emotion. Women put emotions into it. Oh, he has my heart. He texts me 5 times a day. Oh, he put little kisses. He says, oh, I love it. That's what women do.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
right.
He's telling everybody we getting married. Oh, yeah. That's what women do. Brothers be like, yeah, I'm going to marry your sister. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know what I'm saying? They think men have a whole different thought process. And this is why that there can't be women Wakils or Wale, because say your aunt, your Wakil. She gonna be like, oh yeah, girl, we're gonna get this, we're gonna do this for the Wale. And the whole brother character that went out the door, y'all ain't looking at that. Y'all preparing for the Walima. Y'all ain't even thinking about what this brother got. But see, a man knows another man. And especially if the man is younger and your Wakil is older, he's like, I know what men used to do back in my time. And he knows the man. He can judge off of him what his true intentions are, whether he's going to be beneficial for you or whether or not he's going to be a hindrance for you. He's going to be a problem for you. A man knows that. A woman can be like, oh, yeah, I know he loved me. Mm-hmm. I know he loved me because he always... No, a man knows another man. And just like a woman knows another woman. So it's hikmah behind it, and that's the reason for the Wakil or Wale, and why it's important that it should be someone in your family. And if you don't have anybody in your family that's Muslim, then you should look to someone in the community, not this boy's friend or his uncle or his brother, because he's going to stick up for him. He's not going to let his true character be known. And if you don't know his true character, then you don't know. If you marry somebody off of Facebook from 5 states over, nobody in your family knows his intentions, his character, and things like that, whether or not he'll be able to handle polygyny if it ever arose. Like, these are all things that a man knows and he would speak with him about. You know, and then the sisters, like I said, they get so concerned about what's going on in their home and in the other home, worrying about, oh, well, he took her there. If he's treating you fairly, he's going to take you there too. He took her to the Cheesecake Factory, he's going to take you to the Cheesecake Factory. He has to do it equally. It's none of that, oh, she on Section 8 and this and that, and I got you a house out on the main line. Well, people know what I mean by the main line. Bluebell, Wayne, all out there. And this sister living in the projects down Tasker in South Philly. No, he got to take that sister out that situation. And if the brother ain't married, I mean, if he can't afford one wife, he needs to fast. And if he is with one wife, he needs to be content with the one wife he got until he can get to that situation. But if he knew better, he'd stick with the one. It's a lot of energy that people don't have. It's a what these brothers fail to realize is they're thinking off their knots. Like, you're not just marrying a sister. I don't believe nobody gets married to be divorced. I don't think that. I don't think that's what people do. I mean, in some cases, maybe some people do, but generally speaking, the people that I know don't get married to be divorced. So, you know, you got to learn how to set boundaries for your home. Like, if something's going on or you're the husband and you see disaccord between your two wives, you need to put your foot down and stop it in the beginning, because I done seen stuff, people fighting each other like a star for law. This stuff is crazy. And the man's not doing anything about it because he's feeling his high horse like, yeah, I got both my wives fighting over me. What kind of foolishness is this?
I think this is like, we have to start identifying areas and hot spots where this kind of behavior is going on. Because I know I've been Muslim, and I'm in Ohio, Cincinnati, and I have never seen Muslims in the streets boxing over no females or no women or sisters like that. I've never seen that. I've never seen these kind of situations. So my thing is, you got to start identifying some areas where these hotbeds are and start calling them out. Like, I mean, you know, I understand we got Philly in the house and all that, but my thing is, golly, you know, like, alhamdulillah, we need to start figuring out.
It's bad, Celine, it's bad. Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we got a caller from 908.
Yeah.
Caller from 908, feel free to speak.
Yes, ma'am, my sister. I've been listening, and I was just wondering, you know, maybe it's a certain percentage in Philly, but I, you know, just like the brother in Cincinnati, you know, I haven't seen, you know, these kind of things where, you know, this, but I'm not saying it hasn't going on, sis. I'm not saying it's not going on. All I'm saying
right.
is that I haven't seen these kind of percentages where you have like a high percentage or even a medium percentage I think there's a very low percentage of Muslim sisters in these polygamous relationships, and there might be certain pockets, you know, and a lot of times, you know, because of our brothers in jail the way they are, you know, like mm-hmm. large numbers, and the sisters don't want to fornicate, you know, they're trying to do the right thing, then they might
right.
find themselves with a brother that, you know, that has, you know, has maybe two other sisters, you know. But, you know, my leader in teaching the MWD Muhammad years ago said that, you know, that right there, that relationship, well, not that relationship, but he said in America, if you have a polygamous relationship, a lot of times, that's your girlfriend. That's not your wife. That's your girlfriend. So with that said, I'm saying that maybe when a lot of people, when a percentage of these people take these relationships on, maybe it should come with like a social worker, you know, a therapist, because, you know, there's certain feelings involved, and we did not come up in a tradition of polygamy. We came up
right.
in a tradition where one brother marries one sister. So
right.
this kind of relationship is very strange for us. And how do you negotiate it? How do you negotiate a relationship like that? So it might be a Muslim social worker or a Muslim therapist or somebody, a professional, that can come
right.
in and kind of break this relationship down. You know, just like I said, I haven't seen many relationships like this, but the ones that I have seen have been fraught with all kinds of, you know, different problems. And then there's been relationships that have been successful. I've heard of relationships
right.
that have been successful. So I guess it's how do you negotiate? And I think that, you know, as we go on in this, we've only been doing this, you know, for a couple of decades. Maybe as we go on, we'll develop therapists that know how to do this, and we'll develop social workers that know how to do this, because this isn't something that you can handle, because you got children involved, and then
right.
as a human being, right, I got my favorite girl, then I got my medium girl, and I got my low girl. You know, as a human being, you take on these characteristics. It's very hard to, you know, leave your favorite girl to go to the girl that you argue with all the time, but she's your wife, or go to the girl that, you know, that isn't very clean, but she's your wife too. So it's very
right.
difficult to kind of, you know, to kind of negotiate this and be the first one to do it, you know, in a generation of people. And
right.
this may be what the next level is. Me and my husband talk about this. This may be what the next level is. If you got a bunch of brothers locked up, you got to decide how you're going to do this so that people know who their father is, people have legitimate
right.
dads. You got to know what you're going to do. So,
but the season thing,
stuff, you're absolutely right, sister, to go to the Hadith and to go
right.
to Quran. I love the way you're doing this. But also, we need somebody like somebody on the ground, like a social worker,
and
psychologist.
And we do here in Philadelphia. There are like social workers, like you stated, for polygyny relationships. There's a lot of resources because it is so prominent here in the Philadelphia area. There are resources for sisters and brothers to seek out, you know, help in these situations on how to deal with it and so forth and so forth. They have groups. There's a number of groups and things like that where, you know, it's straight for polygyny, like, so you can understand what the process is, you know, and make sure that you're, you know, being treated fairly, you know. And the first line of defense for the sisters is don't let these brothers convince you to marry them and be in polygyny, and you know nothing about it. You're a new shahada. You know nothing about how it works and why it works this way. You're just going off of what he says. And 9 times out of 10, every time that I've seen that a marriage fails from, you know, polygyny and things like that, it's because the brother was a joke. He was a pure joke. He wasn't working. He wasn't taking care of both households like he said he was. He was treating the other wife better than the other one. He wasn't fulfilling his obligations to his house. oh, he mad at Sister B, so I'm going to stay her two nights that I was supposed to be over there with her. I'm going to stay with Sister A. You're not supposed to do that. Even if you're mad at her, you're not even supposed to be mad at a Muslim more than 3 days. How you going to be mad at your wife? So even though you're mad at her, you go home to her and you try to figure out what's going on. Then the Sister B feels alienated because she's like, oh, he mad at me and he ain't even come on his nights. And now she's putting it on Sister A. Oh, she must have told him don't come home. And that's how the ball gets rolling. But it all starts with the man. The man is the founder. He is the maintainer of the women. And if he don't have the gonads to put down and say, look, this is what goes on here, and this is what goes on here, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then how can you argue with that? It's people out there who's ignorant of Islam and don't know their rights. They are uneducated on the process of polygyny and all that it entails. So this is why you have these revolving doors. If you know from the door your husband ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's talking about he's going to take on a second wife, like, yeah, she'll be your only wife. Because you can't take on a second wife if you're not fulfilling your obligations to the first. And that's plain and simple. And anybody in a right mind that knows that will make sure that's enforced. Up until the time when you take care of what you're supposed to take care of and treat me with kindness and, you know, deal with me emotionally, spiritually, and, you know, maintain this home, you ain't looking to get no other wife. And if you do, you'll be the only wife. She'll be the only wife. Because I'm not going to sit back and tolerate that foolishness. But if he is doing everything that he's supposed to, you can't argue with it. You can't argue with it. It's the sunnah. He's allowed to do it. And you should allow him to do it so that you can get the benefit as well. And that's, you know, that's just how I feel on it. It's a lot of these sisters, the reason why they feel the way they do and they're against it, and, you know, you see so many of these marriages and stuff in the area of Philadelphia go sour, is because the man is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And if he heard that wife A was talking about wife B, he need to put his foot down and say, this foolishness is going to stop. We're not having this here. And deal with her accordingly so that she's not putting a burden on Sister B, who has no clue what's going on. This is what happens. Or the husband is sitting there gossiping with Sister A about Sister B. Then Sister A go out and tell the community what's going on with Sister B, and then she got to hear about it like, oh, man, he out there, he must don't love me, and he out there doing this, and he out there doing that, and he telling everybody, and she telling everybody, and then it's a mess. People need to learn their Islam. They need to learn what it entails before they step into these situations and have no knowledge on it.
Is there a group for men who engage in this polygamous type of relationship? So is there a group, you know, like where they sit and they talk about, you know, how to negotiate this thing, this relationship between two sisters or three sisters, however many they have?
Absolutely. And this is the thing. And, you know, I'm just speaking from the community that I come with. These brothers know what they're supposed to do. They know. They know. They just don't tell you. And that's your ignorance. And I blame these sisters, because all you're looking for, and this is why I stated before, there's the importance of a wakil or a wali. Your brother or your father or your uncle ain't letting you marry this joker if he see that he ain't right. But these sisters go through these backdoor marriages where she get his friend, because you gotta have a wakil. You gotta have a wakil or wali for you to get married. You have to. So they do these backdoor marriages where they get his friend, who know he ain't crack. His friend know he ain't crack. But he want him to go in and get married, and he allow him to do it. And you don't say nothing. And even the person that's performing the marriage, you got these crooked sheikhs and all these other things out here performing marriages, and they ain't even certified through nobody. I know we don't have to be certified, but they don't have no tie. So when you go to the masjid for your problems and say, oh, you know, we haven't married. Well, where was you married at? Oh, well, I got married at my house and such and such. Well, who's such and such? We don't know him. Who is he? Then when you come to find out who the person is, they don't even have no authority to be marrying nobody. This is why you, people need to learn their religion and stop jumping into it for the sake of fulfilling their nafs. Polygamy is not for, oh, because I'm mad at wife A, I want to go get another wife. That's not even a reason for you to go get a second wife. The reasons behind a man, and if you really want to technically follow the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was married to the same woman. The same woman for over 20 years before he even took on another wife. And the wives that he took on were widows, or they were in some other kind of situation where marrying them was a benefit and helped them. These brothers out here, because I seen Sister B, oh, she got a big butt. I wanna get with her. Forget what my wife say. I'm a sneak and do it. I ain't got to tell her, and that's a whole nother issue. And I may do another call on that behind all that, but, you know, sisters, for everybody that's listening, no, your husband don't have to tell you that he's taking on another wife. He don't have to tell you. And I think that's another reason why a lot of things come up, because y'all may have had a disagreement, some quarrels or whatever have you, and now all of a sudden you find out he married. You're like, married? How in the world he do that? And I'm speaking on a brother who was able to really financially, emotionally, spiritually help this sister. He was mad at his other wife, so now he done went and got another wife. And she like, well, what's going on? I mean, Islamically, he don't have to tell you that he's taking on another wife. But if he cares and love you and appreciate your input, why wouldn't he tell you? And I mean, some of these sisters may have an attitude problem, things in this nature, but why does she have an attitude? This is something that we need to break down. Why does she have an attitude? She has an attitude because you ain't paid a mortgage or the rent in 6 months, and she's doing it. And it's a burden on her because you told her you was going to take care of her, and now you done went out here and got another wife. Fool, you must have lost your mind. This is the problem, because people want to play with this Islam like it's a joke and take part of it and use it for their benefit. Oh, this part meets with my needs, so I'm just going to do this part. But they're not looking at the full scope of the matter on what it all entails. They're taking it as a joke, and it's becoming a mockery. People looking at people in Philadelphia and say, stay clear of them. Stay clear of the sisters. Stay clear of the brothers. Don't even go with nobody that's in the state of Pennsylvania or Jersey or Delaware. Stay away from them people. They're fitna. Stay away from them. It's people who be like, oh, well, I'm from such and such. Oh, we ain't marrying no brothers or sisters from that community. People got to wake up. Stop using this Islam to benefit you when it's necessary. Don't take part of it. Take hold the whole entire portion of it. You want to take on another wife? Make sure you can take care of her. Make sure you can support her. And if she's able to have more kids, make sure that you're financially stable to be able to support more kids. You may be struggling right now with the five that you got, and you're talking about you're going to take on another wife, and this sister can get pregnant? Then you're going to have more mouths to feed. You're going to have more responsibility. These brothers need to wake up and stop thinking it's a joke and it's a game, because on the day of Yama Kiyama, you're going to be held accountable for your actions. It's not a joke. People think it's a joke and think it's a game that, you know, oh, I can go have me 3-4 wives and I can prance around, show everybody got 3-4 wives. Brothers, get some higher. Get some humility in yourselves. Stop thinking it's a joke. You ain't taking care of these wives. So Uncle Sam is taking care of these women.